Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Brothers and sisters, consider your calling. Not many of you are wise in the eyes of the world. Not many are powerful or of noble birth. In fact, the world would look at you and your Christianity and your beliefs as things that are quaint or out of date or have no bearing on life in this world. In the eyes of the world, you are weak. You hold to fairy tales, simple things that are for lowly people. And in fact, in the eyes of the world, or the way things are in this world, there is some truth to that. As a Christian, within the ways of the world, you don't necessarily have a lot going for you, because your power is in Christ alone, not in anything that you have or anything that you can do. So when the Apostle Paul was speaking, as we heard him speaking in the epistle reading, to those Christians in the city of Corinth, he was telling them to consider their calling. They lived in a city that many of the people in that city viewed themselves as wise, as enlightened, as people who really knew what was important in life. And they lived in a very pluralistic society. Does any of this sound familiar? In fact, those Christians who were in Corinth, they were viewed as weak and as lowly, and people who didn't really have much going for them. For many of those people in the city of Corinth, they had nothing. They wanted nothing to do with a prophet who was from a remote area of the globe and who spent his entire life and ministry there, and whose life, in fact, ended in humiliation as he was crucified on a Roman cross. And this crucifixion, this form of death, was in fact humiliating. It was excruciating. It was meant for criminals. And so why would anybody follow someone like that? But in fact, the Apostle Paul is telling those Christians in Corinth, and to us also today, to in fact consider our calling. Our calling is in fact in this very crucified Lord. Our calling is that we are bound up in his life, which means also his excruciating death on the cross, but also his glorious resurrection. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ, he considered his calling. He knew of the many promises and prophecies of the Old Testament. One of those we heard this morning in the Old Testament reading, where the Lord, God himself, speaks of his servant, his chosen one. This servant would be the one who would be the Savior of the world. And so one of the things that would happen to this servant was that he would be anointed with the Holy Spirit. And this is alluded to in the baptism of our Lord, which we heard this morning in the gospel reading. In fact, that is exactly what happened when Jesus was baptized. The Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove, anointing him with power. Jesus Christ considered his calling. And this is why he came, before he began his ministry, he came to John the Baptist to be baptized by him. Now, what is going on here? John the Baptist was out there in the desert, and he was preaching repentance. Repent of your sins for the forgiveness of your sins. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And even more so, he said of himself, "I baptize only with water, but there is one among you, one who is coming after me, who will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire." And then when Jesus actually comes after him and comes to him, he says, I want to be baptized by you. John tried to deter him. You come to me for baptism? I need to be baptized by you. John saw that what he had been saying was not at all what was happening. Jesus had no sins to repent of. Jesus did not need to be forgiven of sins. And in requesting baptism from John, he certainly wasn't doing what John had said he would do, and that is baptizing with the Holy Spirit and fire. So John said, "No, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. But Jesus was steadfast. He said to him, "Allow it for now." And so John consented. Why is it that Jesus was baptized? He indeed was the servant of God. He indeed was coming to be the Savior of the world. He had no sins. Why was he being baptized? Well, he gives the answer. He says to John, "Allow it for now for us, let it be so now for us to fulfill all righteousness." And this is exactly what Jesus had come to do. He came to fulfill what you and I could not do, to fulfill all righteousness. And in stepping into those waters of baptism, he was stepping into solidarity with us, that is, sinners. We are the ones who need to repent of our sins. We are the ones who need forgiveness for our sins. Jesus did not. And so as we ask the question, why was Jesus baptized? We could ask the same question of also his birth. Why did he need to be born? Or of his death, why did Jesus need to die? Well, it is the very same answer. It was not for his sake. It was for our sake. It was for the sake of every single person who has ever lived. He came into this world humbling himself in order to take upon himself all of our sin. In being baptized, Jesus shows what he showed in everything that he did in his life, and that is humility. Jesus did not sit on his throne from on high only to leave us to our doom, but rather he stepped down from his throne and he humbled himself to come to us in our need. Jesus was baptized for your sake and for mine. So consider your calling. You are not wise in the ways of the world. In fact, as a Christian, you do not heed the wisdom of the world, which seeks to tear down our very humanness, the way God created us as male and female. And we do not follow the ways of the world, which seeks to tear down what God has brought about in marriage, which is between a man and a woman. And we do not follow the wisdom of the world when we seek as Christians to uphold parents raising their children to be godly and decent children in God's heavenly realm. This is what we do as Christians. It is our calling, and we follow this calling because it is what our Lord has given to us in being baptized and in suffering on the cross for all of our sins and in rising from the grave. When we prayed this morning in the collect of the day, praying to our Father in heaven, that as Jesus, his Son, was baptized in the Jordan, and as his Holy Spirit anointed him, so we also would be faithful in our calling as inheritors with him of eternal life. This is our calling. It is eternal life. We have something that the world does not have. It doesn't look like anything powerful or wise. In fact, it looks like nothing, and it looks weak and unwise, but we hold fast to our calling. We seek to remain faithful to our calling, this calling to eternal life, which we live out in this life, including serving and loving those who are in the world, who would disdain us in our calling. We seek to love them by sharing with them this very gospel of Jesus Christ taking upon himself the sin of the world. Though he had no sin, he paid for our sin. We share this good news with others. We live our lives in this humble service to others, which in fact is greater than the wisest wisdom of the world, the truest wisdom, and the highest calling. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.